Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 119, verses 57 to 64, section Kaith, acquiring the motivation to study Scripture. Psalm 119 is about the profitable use of God's written Scriptures, with the psalmist being formed as an acrostic, the psalm being formed as an acrostic, where each section contains a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in its respective section. Section Kaith in Psalm 119, verses 57 to 64, explains how one biblically obtains the motivation needed to study Scripture for its edifying truth. And we view this section for our insight and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the privilege that You give us to be able to meet together, for the liberty that we have to do so, for the indwelling presence and power of the Spirit of God to be our paraclete, the one who runs alongside to help, who also teaches, who disciplines us, who corrects us, who empowers us to live the Christian life. We ask, Father, that as we get into the Word, that we would, yes, understand it, but go beyond it and understand its application in life, and then live it by the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to look at the passage, first of all, in the King James Version, and then we'll get into it from the Hebrew text. Section Kaith, beginning at verse 57, Psalm 119. Thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Okay, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible. So, of course, we're staying with the English Bible's numbering system for this lesson. And so we translate Psalm 119, verses 57 to 64 from the Hebrew text as follows. Quote, verse 57, You are my inheritance portion, booty, or tract of land. That's all what helek means. Inheritance portion, booty, tract of land. O Yahweh, I have said that I will keep your words. I have entreated the favor of your face with my whole heart. Be gracious unto me according to your promise or your utterance or your word. Imrah can mean either one of those, the word, the utterance, or the promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hurry and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. In the middle of the night, I rise to give thanks to you for your righteous verdicts. I myself, emphatic pronoun, am a companion to all who revere you and keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loyal love, O Yahweh. Teach me your decrees. Okay, we consider significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. First of all, the psalmist noted that God was his inheritance portion, his booty in war, or his tract of land, helek. That is everything he needed for complete satisfaction in life. Now, the inheritance portion for the Jewish people, that was where their home was. That was their income source because they were an agricultural society. So that was their source of income. It was also their social identity. Their tract of land was within a tribal territory. And so they belong to a tribe, they belong to the people of Israel and so forth. So this is why we say Jesus, God is my everything. The inheritance portion and booty is what someone gains in war. That's when he takes his prize. That would be, let's say, if you won a prize or if you suddenly received an inheritance, there's this large influx of cash. That's what the Lord is. And also, he's tract of land. A tract of land focuses on the vehicle of future income in an agricultural society or your livelihood. So God is everything to this psalmist. Now, Since the Lord is his helek, his inheritance portion, his booty in war, or his tract of land, everything he needed for complete satisfaction in life, to see the Lord actually meet his every need in life, the psalmist acknowledged that he needed to know and fellowship with the Lord. And knowing the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord is God's experiential reward if we heed Scripture. This is true not only in the Old Testament, in the dispensation of the law, it's true in the dispensation of the church. When we take Scripture and we obey Scripture, God, in very practical ways, comes into our lives and he makes our abode with our lives. Let me prove it from the New Testament. John's Gospel, I think it's chapter 14. I may be mistaken here. Yes. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And," this is what happens as you keep his words, "my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." The word abode is not the word house. It's the place of dwelling. In other words, God says, if you obey my words, I will come into your life. I and my Father will come into your life, and you will notice that we are living with you. In other words, where you are in your work, where you are in your house, where you are in your driveway, where you are when you're driving in your car, doing an errand or something like that, you will see the Lord experientially interacting with you to bless. That is providing you obey his word. This is true in the church era. It was true in the Old Testament era as well. So this is extremely important. Now, the realization of this fact produces the motivation that we need to study Scripture. A lot of times Christians have difficulty getting down and really studying the Word because we forget the fact that it's only through taking the Word of God and applying it in our lives where God interacts with us. And when God interacts with us, there's blessing. If he's not interacting with us, we're kind of on our own. And, you know, it's just, life could turn really bad in a hurry and because there's no control. So you'll notice, number three, the psalmist thus, as a result of seeing the Lord as his everything and then realizing it comes through applying the word of God, the psalmist in verse 58 to 64 described the effects of being aware of these facts. Number one, he wholeheartedly petitions God in prayer for his favor in accordance with Scripture's directives. It affects your prayer life. Then he aligns every one of his paths. You'll notice if you go back to verse 59 up there, number three, I've considered my ways, it's plural. Not only ways. We all have different ways of doing things. We have different ways of preparing our meals, of washing the dishes. We have different ways of cleaning the house, different ways of using our tools on the job, different ways of driving the car, different ways that we take when we drive the car. All of these things. He aligns every one of his paths in life with Scripture for God's all-inclusive blessing. That's very important to do. We might not recognize there may be some area in our life that we're actually violating Scripture on, and we've just done it that way because we've always done it that way, and we haven't stopped to think, wait a minute, that's not pleasing the Lord, because when I do that, I violate this verse or whatever. So it's always good, and the Lord often will lead us in regards to this, to clean up some area in our lives where we're not doing that which is really pleasing to him. And so when we do that, then we find that there's blessing. It could be a little thing, but nevertheless, it's very important. I found the other day, I was just going around, I was getting some supplements out of the cupboard, but it was distracting Nadine, and she, because we have a one-cook kitchen, it's not big and everything. And I realized, so she just backed off and waited for me, and I felt bad. So I realized, you know, from now on, what I'm going to do is if she's in there, I'm going to wait to get my supplements until she's over at the fridge or she's gone into the dining room to set the table or something, and then I'll do that because it'll be out of her way. Because it's not really good to, I mean, she doesn't come into my office when I'm studying and instruct what I'm doing, so I shouldn't, you know, obstruct what she's doing. But it's a lesson. And so we need to watch that. Every one of our paths in life, and then we have God's all-inclusive blessing. C, he seeks to heed Scripture immediately to enjoy immediate blessings from God. We shouldn't say, oh, you know, that's a good passage of Scripture. I think I'll start with applying it next month. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to apply it immediately. And then D, he keeps himself undistracted from Scripture, even amid distressing persecution by the wicked. You notice in number 5 up there, which covers verse 61, though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. If there is a person who is sinful or evil, and that person is constantly plaguing you, constantly persecuting you, it's very, very easy to get distracted from God's word and to get all wrought up because that person is going after us, and then to vent ourselves on that person. And then we realize afterwards we didn't do that which is right. What God wants us to do in that particular time is focus on what his word says. How does God's word tell me to deal with this? When we get through the Psalms, I'm going to have, incidentally, a series of lessons on the angelic conflict. And I've actually organized the angelic conflict in one big super outline. It's 4 pages long. And I'm going to give the whole copy to the class at one time. But then, and my son-in-law back there is shaking his head. He knows that he's already got a copy of it. And we're going to go through it. And that paper is specifically designed. I designed it as a crib sheet for myself because I've had challenges in this area where someone will come at you and persecute and just nag you. And it's easy to get distracted from God's will and his word. And what the crib sheet does is show us verse by verse in Scripture how to keep focused. And exactly what to do in a given particular attack. Satan will attack specific different kinds of ways, different types of people who use different types of ways through them. And Scripture actually has instruction on how to handle every one of those. So we're going to do that when we finish the book of Psalms. But it's very, very important that we keep focused on what God's word says so that we don't get distracted. And that way, even though we're being afflicted by the wicked, we stay true to the word of God, and therefore God will bless us even in that situation. And then E, he gives constant attention to Scripture, even in the night watches, midnight. We have a fireplace insert, and so I have to get up in the night. And of course, tonight I had to get up this last night because, you know, the temperature got down. Our thermometer read like 10 degrees this morning. It was crazy for March. But anyway, nevertheless, I was up in the night and even spent some time praying in regards to that. Because often when you're in the middle of the night, you know, your mind goes back on things and things that it might be of a concern or whatever. And but you're giving your constant attention to Scripture, even in the night watches. And then F, he fellowships. This is so important. He fellowships with others who revere so as to heed the word of God. Now, we have to watch it. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, we are actually warned to watch the friends that we select. I know that the King James Version says in Proverbs 18, 24, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And the implication is you need to be friendly in order to have a lot of friends. The Hebrew actually says something very different. Dr. Ryrie puts in his footnotes, better a man of too many friends may be broken to pieces. So indiscriminately chosen friends may bring trouble, but a genuine friend sticks with you through the thick and thin. That's what the last part of verse 24, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So we need to be discriminating when it comes to our friends, who we really open up to and leave ourselves vulnerable to. They have to be people who are trustworthy, who are righteous, who are godly. So we fellowship with others who revere so as to heed the word of God. And G, in noting that the earth is full of evidences of God's loyal love, the psalmist is eager to be taught by God from his written word, the Scriptures. Now, the psalmist realized that all he needed for total satisfaction in his life came through knowing and fellowshipping with the Lord, and that such knowledge and fellowship was God's experiential reward for heeding Scripture. The Bible is not opposed to experience. It's just that experience needs to follow Scripture. That's always the order. You never just do something experientially off the top of your head. There's always a scriptural basis for it. So, God's experiential reward is for heeding Scripture, that we then be eager to study Scripture and align every path in our lives to studying and applying it. In particular, this alignment will include wholeheartedly petitioning God's favor in prayer in accordance with what the Bible teaches, aligning the path of every route that we take in our lives with Scripture for blessing, heeding Scripture immediately for God's immediate blessing, staying focused on Scripture versus letting ourselves get distracted from it by distressing actions by persecutors, giving constant attention to Scripture, fellowshipping with those who like us revere God and heed His word, and noting the evidences of God's loyal love throughout the world as the basis for heeding His word for blessing, that we eagerly keep our minds open to being taught by the Lord from written Scripture. The goal is every time we get exposed to Scripture, whether we're studying it on our own, whether we're in a Bible study with another Christian or other Christians, whether we're in a worship service, whether we're listening to someone who's speaking on the radio, maybe a Christian radio station or whatever, we should be aware of the fact that God's word, infinite, coming from an infinite God, has designed His word so that amongst all the people who are going to be hearing this throughout history, He does want me to hear this now. And if we come expectantly to Scripture, you'd be amazed at how the Lord will teach us and instruct us through it. But that's what we need to be, on the tip of our toes. The Lord applied this in a tremendous way on our vacation. When we were on our vacation, there were some special needs in the extended family which required that I was probably going to have to take a day off. It turned out I didn't really have to do, but I had to take a day off after I came back off of vacation, which meant that I was going to have to do some study on the vacation. So I started studying. The next passage I was supposed to minister would be the morning service and the Sunday school and so forth. And I've never been in a situation before on my vacation where I was required of the Lord to have to study, but I did. And it was incredible because the instruction, the insight, the encouragement for every single one of the passages, the prayer meeting that we had to do, this lesson, the Sunday morning worship sermon that we're doing here, and even the Sunday evening message, all four of them, and I was working on these in part, all four of these had tremendous insight that I needed, and that is what actually makes my vacation so productive, is when I get to back away from the trees so I can see the forest of the ministry, so to speak, get a wide-angle lens, see what the Lord's doing, and then the Lord gives His instruction. And it was very clear, very pointed. He also had an interesting correction. I know Pete would love this. Pete is into inventing things, and he got the bug of inventing, so I got infected with the invention bug. And I haven't told him this, but I'd had something in my mind, and the thought had crossed my mind about, you know, taking maybe a day and going to Home Depot and getting, you know, $10-$15 worth of hardware, and just because I can make a model out of this thing. And the Lord corrected me big time on that, indicating that may be fine for Pete, but that's not what you do. The Lord knows that if I get my mind thinking on that, I'll get distracted very easily from studying and to get onto that, and He doesn't want that. It's amazing how much time is spent preparing messages. Even when I'm outside of the office, I've done some studying and so forth, my mind is still on it. Nadine knows this. She's known, you know, there are times she has to leave me alone because I'm so deep in thought. But there's a lot of preparation that goes on aside from being in the study, and the Lord doesn't want that thinking distracted. And it could be very easily distracted. You know, I could get off into this invention stuff so quick. And it could actually captivate my attention. That and the game of Sudoku is another one. Oh, I can get on Sudoku and spend hours on it. And I got to watch it because it's, you know, it's, it captures my attention, takes me away from what I'm supposed to be doing. So I limit myself to Sudoku like maybe once every 4 or 5 months. And then I put it away, and or after I solve it, burn it. You know, so I can't erase and redo it. Anyway, but the Lord applied this in a marvelous way. So I, if I can share with you, that it is so important for us to be in the Word of God and exposed to it. But the only way we get exposed to it is when we're motivated. And the motivation is recognizing that everything in our lives that is a blessing comes from the hand of God. And God sends that blessing only as we are obeying His word, as we're in it. That's why we keep emphasizing the word of God, so that God's people can be blessed. God really wants His people to be in His word. You know, when He created the universe back in Genesis 1, He emphasized His word. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. You find that repeated all 6 days. God said, and it was. And God, I believe, was starting right off with the human race saying, look, I want you to realize my word is important. Everything you see around you, including yourself, came into existence because of my word. So I want you to believe my word, I want to use it, and I want you to heed it. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback you have. It could be on this lesson itself. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, feel free to address it. And even if it gets me flat-footed, we'll do our best to find the solution from Scripture so that we can address the needs that we have as a group and as a body.